This morning's scripture is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 38 to 50. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves. Be at peace with one another." Amen.
We're continuing our sermon series, Don't Miss the Mark. Today's sermon is called Clear the Path. You may already know that I've been preaching on the lectionary selections from Mark for these Sundays. A lectionary, for those of you that may not know, is like a set of readings that the global church sort of agrees upon for each Sunday. And there's a set of four, like one from the Old Testament, one from the Psalms, one from the letters, and one from the Gospels. And since, you know, my sermon series is called Don't Miss the Mark, I'm stuck with Mark. And I tell that all to you to let you know that I didn't choose this passage. It chose me, as it were. And if we ever have a sermon series called The Most Beloved Scriptures in the Bible, you won't hear this. It sounds really harsh. Really harsh. Like, Jesus sounds foreign to us, really mean. Barbara Brown Taylor, the great preacher, notes that this passage has never been taken literally by anyone. Not by Mark's church, not by Paul's people, not by the most conservative literalist Bible readers today. Given humanity's propensity to sin, to stumble, and to miss the mark, I'm thinking that Jesus didn't mean for us to take this literally, or because if he did, we wouldn't have a church at all. I wouldn't make it to breakfast before I couldn't see, couldn't hear, and couldn't walk. And that can't be God's will for us. Then there's that part about getting thrown into hell, right and left. Always fun topic for a sermon. You need to know something important. The word that's translated as hell here is the word Gehenna. Gehenna is translated as hell many times in the Gospels, and Gehenna is the English transliteration of the Greek transliteration of the Hebrew word for Hinnom. Hinnom is a place, but it's not underground. It's an actual geographical place. Hinnom was the name of a valley just south of Jerusalem's walls. And in Jesus' time, the Hinnom Valley, or Gehenna, was utilized as the city garbage dump, the sewer. And as you might imagine, they didn't have the kind of sanitary practices we have today with garbage disposal. So if you went to Hinnom and you took a look around, that place would always be on fire. It was a garbage dump. It was a sewer. If you looked really closely, there'd be things crawling around like worms and stuff. And I don't want to gross you out. Some people are having breakfast. But if you physically went there, that's what you would see. This is not about a devil and pitchforks. It's a garbage dump. It would be better for you to be thrown on a garbage dump than to go around causing your brother and sister to stumble. So if this passage is not to be taken literally, it is to be taken seriously. It is designed to get our attention, to get the disciples' attention, to get Mark's church's attention. It's designed to wake up the disciples, to remind them how serious our job is as the church. What we're about is important. What we do and how we live out our faith matters for our brothers and our sisters and for us too. Our living out of the gospel is going to determine whether people think that Jesus loves them or whether they think he doesn't. They're going to look at us. How we live out the gospel is going to determine whether anybody else wants to be a disciple, whether anyone else is going to know and share the love of Christ. Jesus' tone is serious here, I think, because things are getting serious on his journey too. He's about to make the turn to Jerusalem, to the cross. The time is long past for the disciples to be fighting over who's the greatest anymore, or having rock-throwing contests to see who can throw it the furthest, or spitting contests, or anything like that. It's time to get serious. Now, the passage opens with the disciples complaining about someone else who's curing diseases, casting out demons in Jesus' name. He's healing people, and they're complaining. And he's doing it in Jesus' name, and they're complaining. Because he's not part of their little group. Jesus says, whoever's not against us is for us. It's as if he's saying, get over it. Don't waste your time trying to put a stumbling block in his path. Stop trying to draw boundaries about what you think the Holy Spirit can do and cannot do. Oh no, people are healing people in my name? Don't stop them. Don't waste your time trying to legislate, control, dominate, and win. That's just that greatness thing all over again. Those who love God and neighbor in Jesus' name won't lose their reward. It's not up to the disciples to decide. See, church, they were putting stumbling blocks in his path. We get to decide, Jesus, who's in and who's out. Roadblocks. And Jesus says, get out of his way. It's like that time that the topic of Jesus was brought up. I think it was before the Sanhedrin. And Gamaliel, you know, one of the Jewish leaders, said, why are we worrying about Jesus? If it's not of God, it will fail. If it is of God, there's nothing we can do to stop it. Jesus, after all, is a follow me kind of guy. He's a stepping stone kind of guy, not a stumbling block kind of guy. Jesus says, follow me. Come to me, all you who labor, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Follow me. Not follow me and then booby trap the path so nobody can come with us. Make it easy for the people you're traveling with. After all, our job is to make disciples for the transformation of the world. Make disciples who also will follow Jesus. Generally, Jesus was a follow me kind of person. He did not, in general, tell people to go away. Even lepers, sinners, Pharisees, tax collectors, women, children, fishermen, Roman centurions. He did tell Peter, one of his own followers, "Get behind me, Satan," when Peter set his mind on human things and not divine things. When what Jesus was asking seemed hard and he said, "Oh, anything but that." The rich young ruler didn't follow Jesus, but he went away on his own when he decided what Jesus wanted was too hard. Jesus said, "Follow me," and he turned him down. Jesus cast out the money changers in the temple when they were setting up stumbling blocks between people and God, barriers between people and God, by charging them interest to get the temple coins that they needed to be able to make sin offerings to God. They were setting up stumbling blocks. But other than those examples, there may be one more that I've missed. I looked. Jesus is about calling people to follow him, calling people into relationship and helping other people follow him too. So now we get to the part about what's at stake, right? This stumbling block business. Causing little ones to stumble. The word here for little ones is not itty bitty children. It's people who are young in the faith. It's people who are vulnerable. People who, for whatever reason, their faith is at risk. It's less developed. And before you start thinking it has to do with how many times you've taken disciple, there are some mornings when I wake up and I'm a little one spiritually. I'm this close to like moving to Ocean City and selling frozen lemonade for a living. On those days especially, I don't need stumbling blocks put in my path. I usually give the pastors a heads up, like, "I could use a stepping stone today, not a stumbling block." We are not to cause people to stumble. How do we do that? Maybe we do that by putting things in their way, by making it difficult for them to come to Christ, by making it hard for them to grow, hard for them to feel or to share the love of Jesus, hard for them to praise, grow, or serve. And we don't mean to do this because we're really good people and we're really trying hard and we do love each other and we would pass a polygraph if you gave it to us. I'm sure we would. But it's so easy to make things difficult for others and also for ourselves without knowing or meaning to. Little things. And at big, wonderful churches like Glenmar, the little things are sort of unusual to me. One thing that I think is a stumbling block that is common to large, active churches and is the stumbling block of perfectionism. The phrase is, "Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good." Sometimes in our quest for excellence, we forget why we're here, you know? I had a friend that was sent to a great big church like Glenmar. And she wanted to do this thing on Ash Wednesday called Ashes to Go. And what you do there is you get some ashes and you go. That's pretty much how it works. And you go like to a coffee shop or you go to the emergency room. And you just sit there with a little piece of cardboard or something that says, "Ashes to go," and "Hello, prayers, hi, good morning." What happens is people come to you Maybe they can't come to church that day and it is Ash Wednesday and they want ashes. Maybe they're going through something and they want prayer and this is an excuse to pray. You know what I mean? Clear the path. This large church said to her, well, that's a nice idea, but we can't do it. And she thought the reason was going to be like theological. Something about how, well, you can't take the ashes out of the worship service. Otherwise, it's like dropping communion bread out of a helicopter during a Redskins game. Like, she was prepared for that level of argument. Instead, it was, but Ash Wednesday is next week, and we're just coming up with this idea now. And she said, yeah, but it's ashes to go. I get my ashes, I go. That's what's involved. Like, I'll make a call to, like, expectations. They see us all the time, I'm sure. And they say, no. We don't have time to, like, tell the church and make a flyer and get a logo and, like, you know, watermark everything. And we don't have time to get gigantic, like, the large church way is excellence. We don't have time to get 6 or 8 clumps of people out into this town where the church was. And the pastor was like, come on, it's ashes to go. Letting the perfect be the enemy of the good can be a stumbling block to the gospel. We have things that are stumbling blocks that we may not even see. So here at Glenmar, we have a wooden sign. And when you leave the roundabout out that entrance, if you look really carefully, if there's a car coming and you're stopped, you will see a little message on the side facing you. And that message used to be Servant's Entrance. I was there when it got painted on there. I thought it was like a clever play on words. You know what I mean? Like, I've been in the building, now I'm entering into the world to serve. Last year, one of you came to one of the pastors and said, hey, how do you think the phrase servant's entrance is received by a person of color? I had never had that thought before. Never. It was a stumbling block, not for me, so I didn't see it. Once I saw it, I couldn't unsee it, and it became a stumbling block to my faith. And the Holy Spirit was like, you got to change that sign. Everybody's welcome. You said it yourself, NASCAR dads and everything. So I went to trustees, and they're great. So they said, hey, we got the paint, we got the wood, we got the hammer, we got the nails. We don't decide what goes on the church sign, but we're ready. You tell us. So then I went to leadership board, put it before them. And quickly they said, oh my gosh, I didn't see it. We need to change it. Then one of them, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, said, we can't change it. You know why? Because we got to get a task force together. We're going to be changing the sign. We got to do a strategic plan. We got to have like a task force. We got to have a subcommittee. We got to do a survey. And Lord, if we do a survey, we're going to get 85,000 suggestions for the sign. And then how will we decide? Thankfully, there are other people on leadership board. And one among you said, well, I don't know. Let's see what God has to say. Why don't we take a minute and pray about it and just see if an answer doesn't come to us. And so we prayed, and the Lord gave us 3 options that are mighty like the option that God chose. So if you go there now, it says, go serve the world. There are bigger ways that we can, without meaning to, set up a stumbling block for our neighbors. I had another pastor that went to a church, and the person said, we should put what we believe on our website. And the pastor was excited. Great. You mean like our mission statement and our vision statement, and Jesus loves me, this I know, and we could quote like Romans 8, where it says, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. And we can do all these quotes. And they said, no, no. We need to put on our website everything we think is a sin so people know that we're not for sin. And my pastor friend said, why would we do that? Are we the church of the stumbling block? Like, why? And then she said, I don't even think we have enough gigabytes of RAM. I don't even know if that's a thing. Is it gigabytes of RAM? To even put all the things, all the ways that we fall short. You know, why? But that's not, why would we do that? What Glenmar does best, and when Glenmar is at its best, we have this collective spirit of how can we work together to accomplish the mission that God sends to us? How can we work together to love God more, to love our neighbors more, to praise, grow, and serve? That's where we're the best. I have a friend that back when you could fly without a mask, flew on Southwest, and they handed out those little napkins that are for your little drink to go on. And it said, in a world full of no, we're a plane full of yes. In COVID, they're not a plane full of yes. They're a plane full of put up the number of the drink that you want and keep your mask on and keep your hands to yourself. And my friend said, that's what the church should be. In a world full of no, we're a church full of yes. How can we clear the way for one another? After all, I'm third, right? God gets the gold. Neighbor gets the silver. I get the bronze. I'm third. We do this so well. We are setting up rooms in our facility to make it easy to do hybrid meetings so that people who need to be home can be home. People who are comfortable being in person can be in person. We have a huge tent set outside our building, and it's just staying there. Why? So that you can use it. We had Lunch Bunch, which is our collection of seniors, meet for the first time in a long time under that tent. And they didn't really complain. I think they were so glad to see each other. And one of the things they were most excited about was because they met outside, people who have not been inside this church because of their health conditions, because of their age, because of their vulnerabilities, were able to go to Lunch Bunch. Way to clear the path. Masking and getting vaccinated are ways to clear the path for our neighbors and not be a stumbling block and not cause them to fall. Converting Walk to Bethlehem to Journey to Bethlehem is a clearing of the path. All of the ways in generational ministries that we create space for our kids to have fun and learn about Jesus and be safe, ways to clear the path. Blessing of the Animals, a new little service we're going to do on Sunday, Saturday, the 2nd of October. It's a great way for someone who's not too into religion to get to know Jesus in our church and to be reminded that the pet that they love, God also loves. If you could help me advertise it, that'd be great. Paul had this same issue of people putting up stumbling blocks. There was that time that people came early and they ate all the good food at communion because they didn't have to work. And the people who had to work, who were poorer, came later and they didn't have food. There was that part about they had a big dispute about whether it was okay to eat food that was sacrificed to idols. And Paul said, you know, I know when food is sacrificed to idols, it's just food. No big deal to my faith. I don't believe in that God. But if I eat the food sacrificed to idols and it causes my neighbor to stumble or think that I somehow worship that God, that's a problem. That's a problem. In Romans 14, Paul is kind of talking about this eating food sacrificed to idols when he says, "Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for purpose of quarreling over opinions." Ouch. Like, there's a part of me that wants to change your mind if I think that you're wrong about something. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. My meat-eating friends point to this all the time. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain. Those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on the servants of another? It's before their own Lord that they will stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord will make them stand. Let us therefore no longer pass judgment on one another, but resolve instead never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of another. I know, and I am persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in and of itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. If your brother or sister is being injured by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. I would submit you could put lots of other things in there. If your brother or sister is being injured by what you're saying, you're no longer walking in love. We are called to clear the path for others and for ourselves. We're also called to get rid of the things that are causing us to stumble. And did you notice that the list is all about our own stuff? It doesn't say, if your neighbor is causing you to stumble, burn his house down. It says, what about your own stuff is causing you to stumble? You know, if your eye is causing you to stumble, if your hand is causing you to stumble, what are the things that we put in our own path that cause us to stumble when it comes to Christ? I can't speak for you. My list is quite long. It reminds me of Jesus' saying about not judging because we don't see the log that's in our own eye, but we're so careful about the splinter in our neighbor's eye. You know what I mean? What are the things that I'm putting in my own way that are causing me to stumble? For me, it is the desire to be such a good pastor. It's kind of like an ego thing or a hyperachiever thing. Sometimes it gets in the way. That drive to do and to be for you and for Jesus causes me sometimes to be really tired and not take care of myself. And when that happens, I'm a little prone to stumble. We need to be stepping stones, not stumbling blocks. Turns out, clearing the path for one another is actually the best way to live. Turns out that is the source of joy and life and peace. I'm so glad to be on the path with each of you. Sometimes the ground can get a little uneven. So when I feel like I'm going to fall, I'll reach out for you. And when you feel like you're going to fall, reach out for me. And if you're on a particularly rocky path right now, talk to a pastor after the service. We've got all kinds of people in this church who've been trained to come alongside folks when the path gets a little rocky. Be a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. Don't miss the mark. Clear the path. Amen.